Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, and we're continuing our series on spiritual warfare. And in the next few episodes, we'll be looking at Revelation chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14, a time of intense spiritual warfare in the heavenly realms. And in this episode, we'll be looking at Revelation 12, war in the heavens. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we look at your word and we look into the puzzling book of Revelation, give us insight, understanding, and strength. Help us to understand the great things that happen in the heavenly realms around us. And give us a heart of prayer, a heart of worship, to crying out for you, for the world, at this very vital time. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at Revelation chapter 12. Get your Bible open there. And let's look at the incredible events. Revelation chapter 12. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven, and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so there she might be nourished for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels waged war. And they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. And the 2 wings of the great eagle were given to the woman, in order that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So here we have a great dragon and a woman and the saints of God, and we have a great battle in heaven between Michael and the archangels. Now, going back a little bit, if you haven't heard it before in my series, there are 3 heavens. The 3rd heaven, where God is, the mid-heaven or 2nd heaven, where the angels do battle, and the 1st heaven, where the devil is now as the prince of the power of the air. The devil started off, the great red dragon, he started off in the 3rd heaven. Iniquity was found in him, and he was cast down to the 2nd heaven during the Old Testament, where he set up all the wicked idol religions of the world. In the 2nd heaven, he had great power. But then at the cross, His power was broken, and he was cast down like lightning from heaven into the first heaven, where in Ephesians chapter 2 he is described as the prince of the power of the air, which is the first heaven. The first heaven is where the birds fly. So first heaven is where the birds fly. The second heaven is where the angels fly. The third heaven is where God himself and the throne and the courts of heaven are. Now the devil can be called up to the third heaven. So in the book of Job, now Job was written while the devil was in the second heaven. The book of Job, the devil is wandering around on the earth going to and fro. But God calls him up to the third heaven, asks him what's going on, and then throws him back down again. So we find that the devil is only allowed into the courts of God for some sort of trial process to give account to God for what he's doing around the earth. But this devil, this accuser of the brethren, this one who accuses the saints day and night, as we find out in Zechariah chapter 3, where he's tried to accuse Zechariah, Joshua, the high priest of Israel, and God says, is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Around he goes, accusing the saints of God, the great saints like Job and Zechariah, and trying to get David into trouble and other people into trouble and make Peter crack. This accuser of the brethren hates the righteous. He hates the saints of God. He goes to make war with the saints of God. He goes to make war, as it says in the last verse of Revelation 12 here. It says he goes off to make war with those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So the devil hates those who are obedient to God. He hates Job. He hates David. He hates Joshua the high priest. He hated Peter the apostle. Of course, he hated Jesus. And so everyone who wants to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I think that's 1 Timothy 3:12. So we live in a planet at a time when the devil wants to destroy the church. The devil wants to compromise the church. The devil wants to cast us down. So who's the woman in this great spiritual battle that's going on here? We've identified the dragon, the serpent of old, Satan, also called the devil, and he loses this spiritual battle, is cast down to earth. And so the woman here is Israel / the church. It's one entity in the Old Testament known as Israel, in the New Testament known as the church. And this entity has the 12 stars, which are the 12 patriarchs of Israel, the 12 apostles. It's a combined image. Now, Israel does have a right to the land. I'm not going to replacement theology here. But spiritually speaking, the Old Testament is also the church, and the church is also Israel. But they are not replacing one another. There are still promises of the land that will come true, and all Israel will be saved. And that's there in Romans chapter 9 to 11. But spiritually speaking, for the purposes of this prophecy in Romans 12, it's a combined thing of church and Israel. So Israel, the woman as Israel, gives birth to the male child who is clearly Jesus, who's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And Jesus is snatched up to heaven after the crucifixion. He ascends up to heaven and is taken out of the way. He's no longer down here on earth. The Holy Spirit is with us. But Jesus is up in the heavenly realms until all his enemies are made a footstool for his feet. That's in Psalm 110, and it's repeated throughout the New Testament. So Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father. He is not being persecuted by the devil. The devil can't have anything to do with him. So he has been snatched up to the heavens, and the devil is persecuting the church. He's going after the woman who wants to destroy her and has determined to destroy her. But someone's going to stand in the way, and that's Michael and his angels. And there is a great war in heaven. Now, Michael is the prince of Israel. He's the angel that guards the fate of Israel. And so coming in here, we see that Michael is defending Israel / the church. He's defending both of them, and he's got a lot of angels on his side. He fights the dragon, and the dragon and his demons, his angels, are cast down to earth. And I think that's where we are now in world history. The dragon and his demons have been cast down, or are being cast down to the earth in World War I and World War II, and the formation of Israel were part of that process. And so since the devil is being cast down now, he hasn't quite arrived yet, but a lot of his demons have. And how do I know that? Because people are going crazy. You see these people that are having machete attacks on one another. People are going berserk. People are getting into sin that like they've never got into it before. We see things in the movies and on the media and on the news. Absolutely horrific. And people are not listening to logic or common sense anymore because their minds have been taken over by devils. The devils have been cast down to the earth. And because they're cast down to the earth, they have to take on human bodies. And they're taking on the human bodies of seductive women. They're taking on the human bodies of dictators. They're taking on the bodies of movie stars. They're taking on the bodies of billionaires and kings and princes around the world. And they're entering into the people and they're making them absolutely evil. And they're preparing a host of people for the time of the tribulation and the end times. People who will make war against Christians. People who will consider it a privilege to kill Christians. And they'll think that they're doing the work of God because they're demon possessed. And demon possession is increasing. Mental illness is increasing. The small demons, the unclean spirits go into the minds of the mentally ill. Not all mentally ill people are demon possessed, but some are. And they go into their minds and they make them do strange and obscene things. But the really powerful demons from the first heaven, the demons that have wings and power, they are going into the leaders of this earth and they're being led astray. They are being deceived. And we talk about the devil in this passage being the one who deceives the whole earth. So the devil operates through deception. That's one of his primary means of spiritual warfare, is he wants to deceive you and he wants to deceive everyone into a one world religion where the beast is worshipped, the mark of the beast is taken, and we'll see that in Revelation 13 and 14 where a false prophet comes along and causes people to worship the image of the beast and bow down before this massive image. And we see people being forced to take marks, and there's a lot of talk now at the moment of people getting these compulsory vaccinations where they've got to get a little chip along with the vaccination to prove that they've been vaccinated. That chip identifies them. Now, this may not be the mark of the beast, but it's leading up to it. It's leading up to where we get marks on our hand and our forehead, and we can be identified anywhere we go in the world. And so that those who refuse to take the mark, those who refuse to worship the beast, will be slaughtered left, right, and center, and they'll come out of the tribulation with their clothes washed white because they have not loved their lives unto death. Which leads us to how did the church get victory over the devil? Let's look at it. Revelation 12, verses 11 and 12. And they overcame him, that's they overcame the red dragon, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. And the earth and the sea and those who dwell in them are going to be destroyed. But when the devil comes down, he's going to pollute the earth. He's going to destroy the earth. It says later in Revelation, God punishes those who destroy the world. It will be time of great destruction and tribulation. But the overcoming is through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The Lamb, of course, is Jesus. And we see the Lamb before the throne in Revelation chapter 5. The Lamb in the center of the throne, that's the ascended Lord Jesus, our high priest, ascended into heaven at the right hand of the Father. The Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb who is our redemption and who has the ability to open the seven seals of the scrolls and unleash the judgments of God. And the blood of the Lamb is powerful. The blood of the Lamb is the most powerful thing in heaven on earth. And the name of Jesus, that's very powerful as well. For at the name of Jesus, everything must bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And the Bible is written to testify to what the blood does. What the word says the blood does is the most important thing in spiritual warfare. And the word and the blood of Jesus Christ frees us from sin, takes us through death and resurrection, cleanses us from all iniquity. There's 14 things the word says the blood does, and I haven't got time to cover them here. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ gives us victory. It's not your mind. It's not your intelligence. It's not your physical strength. It's not your money. It's not your position. It's not some amulet that you have that protects you from the devil. You're not protected from the devil by having some magic charm that twists this way or that or something you got from a preacher or some holy water. No, That's not what gives you victory over the devil. What gives you victory over the devil is the blood of the Lamb, the cross of Jesus Christ, on which the devil was disarmed, according to Colossians 2, verses 13 to 15. So the devil has been disarmed, he's been exposed, his armaments have been taken away through him, and the blood of the Lamb, the sacrifice of God, the sacrifice of Jesus to the Father for our sins, has crushed the devil. And the devil is thrown down by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. When you speak the words of Scripture into the heavenly realm, when you speak the gospel, when you preach the gospel, and you speak the truth of God, then you knock the devil down. The devil wants you to be quiet, and the devil wants you to lie. The devil wants you to never mention the name of Jesus. The devil wants you to be silent about your faith. The devil wants you to say things that are untrue and to compromise and to say, yes, sir, no, sir, I'll go worship your idol, sir. But no, they stood up when the threat was there, when they were threatened with the mark of the beast. These people, these victorious people said, no, I testify that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is my Savior. He's coming back to raise the dead and to set up his heavenly kingdom, and he will shatter the nations with a rod of iron. He is coming back. And those who speak out the testimony of Jesus, they are the ones who have spiritual victory. You must be determined right now that you will always testify to Jesus. When someone asks you to do something dishonest, you will say, no, I'm a Christian. I'm not getting involved in that corruption. No, I'm not taking that charm or that amulet. No, I'm not going to that idol ceremony. No, I'm not going to tell lies. No, I'm not going to be wicked. I'm going to hold to the testimony of Jesus. I'm going to speak Jesus. I'm going to live Jesus. I'm going to display Jesus to the world. And the testimony is both your life and your words and your actions. It's not just your words. Some people talk about Jesus and then they're terribly immoral. Your testimony includes your life. Your life must resonate with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must love your neighbor as yourself, and you must obey the commandments of God. And that's part of your testimony. But ultimately, the testimony is you saying Jesus is Lord, standing up to the powers and principalities of this age that want you to say anything else and do anything else and get involved in all sorts of sin. You share the word of testimony. You share the Bible. You memorize the scripture. You speak the scripture. You say what God says. When people are asking you to commend some sin and to say that homosexuality is okay, or this is okay, or having 17 wives is okay, you say, no, this is the word of scripture. This is the word of the Lord, and this is what it says. And I will not bow down before the devil. And you will not bow down before the devil. And you will not take the 666 mark, which we'll see in the next episode. And you will not bow down towards the economic system or the political system. You will not bow down before a government and a leader and say this leader is God. That's what they're asking to do in China. Xi Jinping has said that he's going to be superior to any religion in China, and everyone has to venerate him and his photograph, and that he's trying to get the whole of China to worship him. And God will cast him down. And if you're in China, don't bow down to Xi Jinping. Don't bow down to any dictator. You have the testimony. And that is how the devil is cast down. Okay, so what is happening here to the woman? The woman, who is the church, who is Israel, is taken into the wilderness on the wings of the great eagle, a time, times, and half a time. That is 3.5 years, the 1,260 days. For 3.5 years, the church is kept in a safe place somewhere on planet Earth. This is before any rapture occurs. It's taken to a safe place for a certain period of time, and after which the rapture happens. So this is what some theologians might call a mid-tribulation position. She's taken away from the wrath of the devil, and she's kept safe from Satan. And so here, Israel / the church is taken to a safe place in a safe way for 3.5 years. And the saints of God are moved away from the ability of the devil to persecute them. Somehow God arranges this. I don't know how he's going to arrange it. It's a mystery to me. The devil cannot get at the woman. And the woman is a complex thing. We see that the woman is a large number of people who have the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony and not loving their lives unto death. She moved over to some safe place for 3.5 years. And most people say there's going to be a 7-year tribulation in two halves. 3.5 years where the woman is persecuted but kept safe. And another 3.5 years where after the rapture, when the worst judgments come down. This is subject to many different interpretations, and if you disagree with that, you're free to do so. But the devil is chasing after this woman, and there are other people that also observe the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus, and the devil goes after them, and we'll find that in Revelation 13 and 14. How this is precisely interpreted, we don't know, but the devil hates those who bear the name of Jesus and who testify to Jesus. So this second group here, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus, these may be Messianic Jews. They're not Jews, because Jews do not hold to the testimony of Jesus. They hold to the testimony of Moses. So these are not Jews. They are people that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the devil is coming after them with power. So we find that in the heavenly realms, there's going to be a huge and tremendous battle, and it will then reflect on the earth and everything in it. And I believe we're entering into that time now, a time of great tribulation, a time of great affliction across the earth. And we have to be spiritually ready for that. We have to be able to stand up to the dragon and cause heaven to rejoice. You see, when we win the spiritual battle, heaven rejoices. And let's see what heaven says. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night." And in verse 12, "For this reason, rejoice, O heavens." So the spiritual battle that we win here with tremendous endurance, this is the endurance of the saints, causes heaven and God to rejoice. And so when the serpent is thrown down, while the dragon is thrown down, heaven says, a great victory is now being won. And they look on us who are praying, who are beseeching God, and they will look on us with great mercy, because those who go through the tribulation, who show the patient endurance of the saints, who are crying out to God, they will receive a tremendous reward in heaven for the victory that they have won over the evil one. And God commends them, and God rejoices in them and gives them special places at the altar and gives them white robes. For those saints who go through this terrible time of persecution and testing, they are highly approved of God. I believe we're at the point now in Revelation 12 where the Antichrist has not yet arrived on earth. The Antichrist has not yet been revealed. We don't know who he is. We don't know where he's living. The Jewish temple has not yet been set up. We know the Antichrist sets himself up in a rebuilt Jewish temple. So the man of sin has not yet been revealed. You can't point around the world and say this person is the man of sin or not. But there are an increasing number of people wanting worship. There's people lining up to be the man of sin, to be the incarnation of Satan. We know that Vladimir Putin wants everyone to approve of him. We know that Xi Jinping wants personal worship. We know that the Erdogan in Turkey has half proclaimed himself to be a messianic figure and expects people to regard him as a kind of messiah for the Islamic people. And all around the world, dictators are wanting more and more power and building bigger and bigger statues to themselves and becoming more and more boastful. And this is a sign that we're heading straight into the end times very soon. And as I said before, we're finding demons falling down and coming into these dictators, coming into people and making them extremely proud. And people have all this technology that they want to unleash on us. And there's things about the coronavirus being artificially made. We're not certain of that, but my wife has a PhD in botany and in genetic engineering. And in her view, the coronavirus has been engineered. So we are in a time when the devil is going to do his works on the face of the earth, and you and I need to have the victory. We need to have the victory through the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and because we do not love our life even unto death. You have to have spiritual courage. Spiritual courage is the output of faith. You need to pray that God will give you enough faith for you to be courageous in times of tribulation, and that you will not love your life even unto death. You'll see the resurrection is more important than gaining the things of this world. You will hope in the resurrection. You will hope in Jesus Christ. You will hope in your reward in the millennium. You will hope in what God is going to do in you and through you and the glories that come to you, for Christ in you is the hope of glory. And God has a plan to glorify you. It says that in Romans 8. Those he called, those he also justified, and those he justified, those he also glorified. God wants you to have a glorious resurrection body. God wants you to be a glorious spiritual being who inherits the heavens and the earth, who inherits with Jesus Christ throughout eternity. Don't throw that away. Make that your treasure and your hope. As you have spiritual courage and spiritual hope, you will overcome the devil and all his temptations. You'll be able to say no to the kingdoms of this world and all their glory. You'll be able to say no to sexual temptation because you want to keep your reward. You don't want to burn it up. So you need to have the kind of spiritual courage where you don't love your life until death. Instead, you take up the cross daily and you remember the words of Jesus. He who lets his life go will gain it. You will gain it in heaven. You'll gain it in eternity. But he who loves his life in this world will lose it. And you don't want to be those who lose it. You don't want to be those who take the mark of the beast and go into torment forever and ever, which we'll look at in Revelation 14 coming up. Instead, you want to be those that defeat the red dragon, those who defeat the devil, those who resist sin and lies and temptation. And you want to be a spiritual warrior who rises up in the last days. And I pray that you'll be determined to do that. You'll be determined to be a person of spiritual victory and power and strength. You're going to be part of God's church. You're going to be part of the redeemed. You're going to be those people that overthrow the enemy of God, cast down the accuser of the brethren. No matter what the devil says against you, God's going to say, behold, this person, this saint of mine is a brand plucked from the fire. And your life will be hidden in God. And when Christ is revealed, you will be revealed with him in glory. Glory awaits you if you can resist the devil right now. So make it your determination that you are going to be among the end time saints, that you are going to be among those people that fight the devil and win. And God will give you the strength to do this, and the Holy Spirit will enable you to do it. Make the word of God your home so you can cast down the devil. This is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, signing off. God bless you all.
Hi, that was an episode of Insights for Eternity, and I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you and be blessed in the Lord this week.